Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
Do we have any Duck Dynasty fans in the crowd? Raise your hand if you're a Duck Dynasty fan. Okay, there are a few who didn't raise their hand, so obviously you're crazy as opposed to the rest of us. But I haven't watched as much Duck Dynasty as everybody else probably has. I've only probably seen 10 or 12 episodes. You're not allowed to boo the preacher. Come on. But so the bad news I do have for you who are Duck Dynasty hardcore fans is that as soon as one of those people leaves the show or decides not to be filmed anymore, the show's over. It's over. Because it has the curse of shows like Seinfeld and Friends. And if you know me, comparing it with those shows is pretty high praise. But, you know, the spinoff of Joey, how many of you watched that past two episodes? Or possibly maybe three or four if you were diehard Friend fans. Or the Kramer Show. Does anybody remember that there was a Kramer Show? And he was a private detective? See, no one even remembers that there was a Kramer Show. Because the chemistry on Seinfeld, the chemistry on Friends, the chemistry of Duck Dynasty is what works. Without Willie, Uncle Si is just a crazy old guy who's lost his mind and utters meaningless things. He should be in a mental institution, probably, if it weren't for the craziness that surrounds him that brings it into normalcy for that. Jace is just a sarcastic guy who probably wouldn't be liked if he wasn't loved by his family in there. And so everybody has their role and their function within the Robertson family, and that's what makes the show fun. It's what makes the show work. And knowing that all of these just divergent personalities can come together and eat at the table afterward is what we love about the show. And it's really kind of our hope for humanity that all the people who come from different backgrounds, with different interests, with different places, could eventually come to Christ's table, could eventually get along, could eventually come to a place where we would enjoy the show that we call life. But we were trained in a way to think, as we watched the show, who's the star, right? It even happened, you know, it happened with the Joey Friends spinoff. Joey had reached a point where he was in such popularity with Friends, they decided to take the gamble on him, to where Joey Tribbiani would go off to L.A., try and make it big, and obviously that show lasted, like I said, like six or seven episodes or something like that. But we're trained to look for who is the star, who is number one in our community, who is the greatest of these, who's going to sit at the right hand of God the Father and the left hand of Jesus the Son when we get up into heaven. And that's what James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were asking in our scripture passage. In our Love Legacy video, we mentioned Upward Basketball. And I think it's one of the most awesome sports leagues around. Some other people think it's the most frustrating sports league around. One of my favorite emails came after our very first season. We always ask for feedback and we ask for evaluations. And a certain dad sent me an email and basically said, I'm not so sure about this communist basketball league you've got going on here. Which 4 years later, I'm happy to say that diehard capitalism patriot still has kids playing in the league because the kids loved it so much. But it was communist because in Upward Basketball, we encourage crazy things like fair play, and we encourage things like not stacking the teams. We encourage equal playing time for the kid who can barely bounce the ball versus the kid who's going to be the next Michael Jordan. We try and formulate an environment to where each kid gets at least one opportunity to shine, to where each kid has the best experience of basketball in that. And part of that best experience is the values that come from a knowledge of Jesus Christ and then the life that comes through forgiveness in Jesus Christ. The communist league that perhaps maybe the first can be last and the last can be first and they can coexist together in the same thing seems to be working for us. But I don't think that calling leagues like this communist or looking for the star of the show is necessary. It's not all in sports. As much as that's a really common metaphor that we might look for, I think in life we want our kids and we want ourselves to look like this. We want to be surrounded by trophies because when we walk into our house and all the stuff that we have or the car that we drive, when we walk into the gym and we see all the trophies that our team has won or that we have won, our office that has diploma after diploma and reward after award that we put out for people to see, wherever we keep them, we want people to know that we are, in fact, number one and that we had to beat everybody else to become the best. And that's what's inherent when you put a trophy out, is that there's a lot of pride that goes into the tall trophy versus the short trophy, We all know what the short trophy is. It means you participated. The tall trophy means I beat everyone else to be the best. And I got to lift this trophy up to show you. And the story that precedes our scripture today, we had the part about the first shall be last and the last shall be first. This comes off of, and I appreciate the version that's in Mark chapter 10, verse 35. And this is James and John, who are the sons of Zebedee, two disciples that are in Jesus' inner circle of 12, are essentially walking with him through the town of Jericho and start bickering with each other about who's the greatest. And they sneak up to Jesus and kind of away from the other disciples and say, so when you come into your kingdom, when the resurrection occurs, when you come back and you really establish the kingdom of heaven on earth and everything is peaceful and equitable and justice-oriented, can we be the best? Can I sit at the right hand and John sits at the left hand? And can we be uplifted amongst all other people? And there may have even been a reason for this. We know that John, in this circumstance, is very hardworking, is very trusted by Jesus. John is one of the kind of upper echelon of disciples. James, we know a little bit less about. It's not James the less, it's the older James. We don't know as much of what he's doing. But they certainly have a case for where they might be better than everybody else. They might have worked their tails off. When Jesus sends the disciples out without a staff, without a weapons, with only the pair of shoes on their back, they might have converted the most people. They might have a case for why they deserve the biggest trophy in heaven. And what comes even funnier out of here that I want to point out real fast is that if you read it in Matthew, I think this is poignant for us as a culture here, is that James and John are seeking their own trophies. In Matthew's version of the tale, it's their mother. It's their mother who wants James and John to be surrounded by trophies, to be uplifted above everybody else. And this just screams of living our dreams out through our children. This screams of unfulfilled potential, I suppose. Not living up to the expectations that were set for us as kids, or not living up to what society has told us is to be the best. And so in Mark, we have the two people who are seeking to be the best above all other people, that we are greater than. And in Matthew, we see a very proud mother, who so desires for her kids to be seen as better than everybody else in the kingdom of heaven. And if we're honest with ourselves, first place is really what we ought to aspire to. We aspire to everything, even in our sissy league of upward basketball. We tell kids to go out and try their hardest to win. We have coaches that we tell them, celebrate if your kid makes a basket. Celebrate if you win the game. Celebrate that they are playing their best, because in theory, if one team plays better than another, they're going to win. It doesn't mean that one team plays bad. It just means that one team played better. They maybe tried a little bit harder. Something happened. We encourage those kind of traits. We encourage those traits in business. We encourage those traits in school. There's no one who is staying faithful to humanity or staying faithful to even the message of Jesus that says you ought to put a boulder around your neck to keep you from winning the race. I mean, this isn't the Kurt Vonnegut, you know, land in which we hamper people to where they cannot excel up to their level of potential. We encourage businesses to go out and make the most amount of money, serve the most amount of people, be the best business they can be, except perhaps if that booming or that success in whatever field comes at the stomping and exploiting of those people that Jesus calls the last. And this is where first place tends to cause bad things. See, the last are people who Jesus came to be with. The last are who Jesus speaks of in Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount. We see, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. I don't think Jesus was given a feel-good pastoral care message on the Mount. If you read the rest of the Sermon on the Mount, this is Jesus' manifesto, his thesis. This is everything Jesus is about, and it has to do with uplifting those people who are the last in our society. The last are those people that don't get picked at recess because they're too slow, they're too uncoordinated, they can't catch as well. They don't serve our purposes toward victory. The last are those who haven't had the head start in life that most of us have had. And they've topped out at their income potential of busboy or waiter or house cleaner. The last are those who sit alone at the lunch table, the restaurant that we walk into, Starbucks, sometimes their own home, because they don't have the confidence to think that people want to be with them in the first place. The last are people that we have forgotten about on our own journeys of recognition for big trophies, whether here or in the kingdom. Now, the thing about this, though, is that, see, I don't think, in my understanding of the Gospels, and my understanding of Scripture itself, I don't think that we were wired for cooperation quite the way. There's actually new science that comes out that says we may be wired more for collaboration and cooperation to reach our highest potential rather than competition against anything Adam Smith may have ever written about. And that perhaps we're wired for something differently. And we all know this feeling you get when you see the person who is the last. And whether you witness somebody else go and be with that person who is the last, or whether you serve the last person, you love that person who is the last yourselves, and you feel whole. The time when you were interacting with people at the Samaritan Inn, there was a Sunday school class one time that went through like this 4th of July carnival, and the little girls and the women were painting the nails of the little girls who came and were felt dignified in that moment. And as you saw this moment, you felt a connection of wholeness and healing. And it was a feeling that surpasses a first place trophy, leaps and bounds. It was a feeling that surpasses winning an election, or a feeling that surpasses squashing your business rival, or whatever those feelings may be. This feeling is something of purity and of just goodness. As I started digging into awards that are given, yeah, it's one thing to win a first place trophy, and it's one thing to make an A on a paper. It's one thing to get those awards. There are certain other awards, though, that I think most of us, if we're honest with you, if we're honest with what we should be as Christians, would rather take these awards over a Super Bowl trophy any day. Awards like this: Medal of Honor, given to distinguished service people who risk their own safety and well-being to go and further the mission or save the life of other people. Next one, the Presidential Medal of Freedom, the highest award a civilian can garner in the United States, given to people who have transformed the landscape of the way that we think toward a more justice-oriented society. And oh, by the way, that's Democratic president giving the first one, Republican president giving the second one, with the same values inherent in serving the common good and the last. Some of you, unfortunately, may recognize these. These are Alcoholics Anonymous pins, coins. They're the reward given at various stages of Alcoholics Anonymous for being sober for that long. And we'll get to why this is award equal to the other ones in just a little bit. But the awards that are given out in this time, the highest prizes of our country are prizes that go to respect, in regards to respect and reputation, at least the highest prizes, are not garnered by devouring opponents or proving yourself as superior over and against anybody else. The highest awards are recognitions of selflessness and service. The highest awards are those that go to people who risk their own lives for other people. Exactly what Jesus said when Jesus says, no greater love is there than the person who risks their own life or gives their own life to their brother or their sister or their friend or their enemy, perhaps. The greatest awards and achievements at universities that come with the most scholarships are for those people who have invested the most time in the community to make it better. We're hedging our bets on those people who are invested in making the world a better place. We're hedging our recognition, we're giving our recognition on the highest levels to those people who sacrifice their own life, who choose to really take the participation award over the first place trophy so that other people might have a better shot at the first place trophy. And this is completely backwards from the way that we run our economics. It's completely backwards from the way that we even run churches sometimes, or the way that we think about popularity in high schools or even in workplaces or at church. The idea that perhaps the first lower themselves to be servants to uplift those people so that they have a shot at being first. And the last could actually walk into this place or walk into your place of business. The last could walk into your home and have a seat at the table just like you do. have a seat in God's kingdom just like we do, have a fair chance at getting back on their feet or succeeding in life as we do. Now, those Alcoholics Anonymous pins, if we want to look at the way to start loving the last in our own lives, this is a great example. And you can think of the Medal of Honor if this strikes too close to home. But I know people who are in AA right now. I have friends who are in AA right now. And they are some of the hardest working people that I know. Because at each turn, they want to drink. Every breath, they want something to heal whatever's missing from that drink. And they have to constantly remind themselves to not do it. And even more than that, they have to lower themselves to a place of humility for a community or a sponsor to tell them what to do or to support them. They have to garner the attention of other people into their own weakness so that they can become first. If they want any chance of succeeding in a marriage or business or life or anything, they have to kick this so hard and they have to lower themselves to the point of asking for help and admitting their own weakness. And so if you are the last in our community here today, the first step is admitting our own weakness. In fact, if you're the first, that's a lot of our own step as well. First step in becoming a Christian, really. Admitting our own weaknesses. And so as people in AA are working toward these goals, they're awarded these coins for 6 months, 1 year, 15 years, 25 years. You know, thanks be to God that it could be 75 years or however of people not jumping, getting off the wagon. But the interesting thing about this is that as you start seeing the different coins, people who have certain coins of 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, you don't tend to see them as the last anymore. In fact, they're usually leading the group. And they're usually the sponsors. And they're usually the people who have gone into first place. They have, in some respect, kicked the disease of alcohol and kicked that out of their lives. They have won the trophy. And should they not reap the rewards? After this long, arduous, emotional, physical fight, should they not sit back and reap the rewards of everything they have done and look how awesome they are and what they've done? But they don't think like that because of the process they've been through. They don't think like that because there was somebody in their lives who was better off than they were, who chose to invest time in their life to raise them up to first place, to raise them up into wellness and healing and wholeness. And the same could be said for the Medal of Honor. That a Marine or an Army or a Navy or whatever branch of the military you want to go through has gone through physical turmoil and emotional turmoil to go through basic training, to understand the mantra of the military, to understand the values that they expend upon them. And after all of that, shouldn't they sit back at a nice cozy job and get paid a lot of money? But they go out and they serve in every aspect of what they do. And the people who serve to the highest degree of sacrificing their own life get garnered with a medal for it. And I think it would be wonderful if we understood, as we're seeking to serve the last, that our role as people who have advantages in life are people who maybe your only advantage in this place is that you have a community that comes here and worship with. Maybe your only advantage is that you have somebody who's holding your hand right now. Maybe you're better than that. Maybe you have an apartment or a house. Maybe you're naturally sober. Maybe you have money. Maybe you can teach really well. Everybody in here in some way or another is first in something and last in something else. We love to uplift our firstness. We love to garner the big trophies and wave them around. But Jesus tells us that in order to sit at the right hand of God the Father, and in order to really fit into the mantra of heaven, that our job is to win those first place trophies, immediately toss them aside, and go help somebody else win the first place trophy. That we work really hard, we make a lot of money, we buy whatever we need to buy, and then we take whatever we need to buy, and we take our money, and we go, and we help somebody else do the same thing. And this is Jesus' dream. That we would recognize perhaps our own blessedness. that we would recognize that at the very least we might have a friend. And we know what that feels like. At the very least, we're not sitting by ourselves in church or eating or at home. And we have community to be with. And at the very least, we recognize we have something to offer that somebody else doesn't. And that if we're honestly going to say that we would love for everyone to have a seat at the family table, if we're honestly going to put that out there, that perhaps we're bold enough to follow Christ's vision of letting ourselves be last so that everyone truly might have a way to get to the table in the first place. And so let us look for those people by themselves. Let us look for those people without the resources. Let us look for those people that nobody else wants to shake a finger at because they are impediments on our way to the top. They are people that won't let us sit at the popular table. They are people who will not allow us to run the most profitable business that we could possibly have. They are people who will slow down the mission and movement of this church because they are so needy. But why are we here? We are here for the people who need the most.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us in worship every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30 in either our celebration service, which offers a blended worship style, or in The Bridge, which offers a contemporary and soulful worship style. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.